of First Things First. We're having a great time here on this Tuesday morning. I'm Jenna Wolf. That is the Hall of Famer Chris Carter. This right here is Nick Ray. Can I just say, you guys look great today.
Oh,
everyone's
thank
in
you.
A good mood.
You as well.
We
I feel like that's a new dress.
Springy. It isn't, but it might as well be.
I don't
it
remember it. It looks great.
Okay, I like it. What's the matter, Chris Carter?
Dress might be new, but you guys, it's the same old act.
Same yeah. old act, different day.
Absolutely.
That's what makes us so
thank
lovable.
You. I appreciate the compliment
yeah,
on the consistency.
Thank you very much. That's we much appreciated. We got a big show for you today, talking some football. Big Ben is ready to move on without El Bell and Antonio Brown. Cam Newton, he's setting some lofty expectations for himself. We'll hear from him. To Cam Newton, he's coming off a season cut short due to a shoulder injury. Now armed with a new throwing motion, a more mature and healthy Cam Newton will try to get the Panthers back to the playoffs. Cam turned 30 this summer, said all great athletes have to change their game as they age. He knows he won't ever be MVP Cam of 2015 again, but he's confident there are other ways that he can be a great quarterback.
You can look back at any type of player. You can look back at any type of sport. And as a player grows, your game has to change. You know, I remember, you know, reading and seeing a lot of clips about, you know, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Brett Favre, you know, even Peyton Manning to a degree. You know, when you get old, you know, you have to change certain things. It kind of keeps you young, and I actually look forward to it. I embrace this whole process because it made me feel like I felt like a rookie again.
What do you think, C? You were smiling there. Do you like what he had to say?
Well, I like the fact, because I've been knowing Cam for a long time. When he's 18, met him in high school, and he's just really evolving, not only as a human being. This offseason, for the first time, has given up eating meat. He's a vegan. Give up all animal products. I'm sure, Jenna, something you're very familiar with. And he's very shocked at how his body has responded. He's been able to keep his weight up, even though his muscle mass looks like he's a little bit leaner. But this is what sports is all about, learning and trying to get the best out of whatever talent you have. And that means changes on and off the field. So for me, this is what I want to see from someone like Cam. Cam, to me, is the most talented athlete that's ever played quarterback, with the combination of throwing and running. Now, he's not a better runner than Michael Vick, but he's got a better body, and he's close, and he stays healthier than Michael Vick was able to do. So when you start looking at, he's looking at the past, athletes, Malcolm Jenkins, star safety of the Philadelphia Eagles, he's a vegan. Hadn't missed a game. With all the injuries they had in Philadelphia, he hadn't missed a game in the NFL in 5 years.
Wow.
He's been a vegan for over a year. So Cam's looking at all these, not only legendary players, guys who are playing, and that will lead to on the field. They hired North Turner and Scott Turner. So not only is he changing his diet, he's changing his throwing motion. He's working on his footwork. That's how you would like to see people evolve as they get older, especially athletes. And now at 30, Cam can play as long as he wants to. When you start looking at Drew Brees, you start looking at Phillip Rivers, Ben, Eli, Brady up there in New England, as long as they're playing, and this guy is a better athlete than them, getting his diet under control early, like, this is what the Carolina Panthers, this is why you have a franchise quarterback, where you expect him to make adjustments, and they're not forced on him. When you make them yourself through going out, getting knowledge, acquiring, those stick home compared to someone on the nutritional staff, on the coaching staff saying, you know something, you need to lose a little weight. Sometimes that's something you need to look at. So I like what Cam is doing right now. Just realize it's a slow process trying to make those changes.
All right, first thing, from a football perspective, I've said a lot of times when you talk about throwing motions, I can't necessarily discern the differences you're describing. You can see it in Cam's, what we saw in that little highlight clip right there, that is a drastically different throwing motion than what we've seen from Cam
yes.
the first 6 years of his career.
Far tighter throwing motion, far more efficient, and once he recognizes where he's going to throw it, the ball gets up and down fairly quick.
I mean, in the article Peter King writes about talking to people, Norv Turner saying his shoulder is staying
closed,
and you really can see it. Like it is, I don't think I totally realized how different his old motion was until watching this clip right here. But the other thing I want to give Cam credit for that maybe the audience doesn't know or doesn't remember is who he was talking to. Peter King, your friend, and Cam had a tortured relationship from before Cam got into the league. Peter King wrote an article where Cam was quoted as saying, "I want to not just be a football player, but also a global icon." Cam thought it was very unfair. And for a few years, Cam would not speak to Peter King. And whether it was petty, whether it was well-deserved, whatever it was, he held that grudge. He not only, it's not like this was in a scrum of a bunch of reporters and Peter asked a question. Cam has to agree to, yeah, on camera, one-on-one for your website, I'll talk to you. But the other thing is, pulling from the historical knowledge of, man, Michael Jordan, when he got older, was not the same player. He developed a mid-range game that allowed him to offset maybe his decrease in athleticism. They talk about in this story, Bill Parcells talking to Peyton Manning. And saying to Peyton, do you remember, I'm sure you remember the pitcher, Jenna, Jamie Moyer, who played seemingly till he was 50, never being able to throw 95 miles an hour because he was savvy. And the example Bill Parcells used was he let his feet do the work for him. So it wasn't all the wear and tear on his arm. And for Cam to want to, at this point in his career, evolve and change like that, it does give you renewed optimism that he's not going to be the at times brilliant, at times maddening player, that he can have a better level of consistency with still the flashes of true brilliance that we've seen throughout his career.
All we've talked about the last couple years was how great Cam is, but also how consistent he is, to your point. And he made a really good point to Peter King in that it's not that he's not going to run out and try to run the ball if the situation rises, or he's not going to try to throw the ball down the field, but because he, you know, after the surgery and now that he's gotten older, winning is more important to him. That stuff is as important, but the numbers, the stats, all of that isn't as important to him as winning. And I just wonder, he said all the right things, he's changing his throwing motion, he's doing all the right things. How hard is that to maintain over the course of a season if you're a guy who's athletic as he is, and it's obviously easy to go back to your old ways in thought and obviously in physical ability?
Yeah, I think Cam is doing the right things. Last year, he wasn't reckless running the football. We can't look at, just because we're starting the season, just because he had off-season surgery. This process started last year with Scott Turner, with Norv Turner. Last year, he had the highest completion percentage of his career. His footwork had started. Being more efficient had started. But he took a big shot from T.J. Watt, which would injure most quarterbacks. Cam tried to fight through it, and now he just picked up where he left off. He added the vegan part to it. So, no, Cam Newton the last couple years has been trying to change. I believe that the Panthers believe that they'll benefit this year, because last year he was on track. They believe that Carolina Panthers, they put a formidable defense out there. They get that running game back going. They'll be back into the playoffs.
And some guys are just built a little different in that Cam, prior to last year where he got hurt in the pocket, had only missed three games in his entire NFL career despite his style. And the only time I could remember Cam getting injured running the ball was the time he slowed down at the goal line inexplicably.
Yeah, against the Falcons.
When he didn't need to. He could have scored. It looked like he thought he was going to score. It might have been a two-point conversion or a touchdown. I don't remember. And he took a wicked shot, scored anyway. But he's been a guy who's been able to sustain that level of punishment. The concern was, okay, will it shorten your career on the back end? Not so much will it ruin seasons during the year, because that hadn't happened. But to Chris' point, the T.J. Watt hit, the reason it hurt his shoulder was because he was rearing back in the pocket to throw. And for a lot of guys, it would have ended their season right then and there. It maybe should have ended Cam's. He played through it until two games left in the year.
All right, let's take a break. Coming up, will the Eagles regret giving Carson Wentz big money? That's next on First Things First.
Hey guys, Nick right here to talk about Lightstream credit card bills. Every month you get them with multiple payments and multiple due dates. Wouldn't it be easier to just have one payment at a lower rate? Well, you can with a credit card consolidation loan from my friends at Lightstream. Get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay, lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 19% APR. Plus, the rate is fixed, so it will never go up over the life of the loan. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with no fees. And you can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Just for First Things First listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/FTF. That's LIGHTSTREAM.com/FTF. TF. Of course, subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/FDF for more information.
Tomorrow, some of soccer's biggest names, including Wayne Rooney and Zlatan Ibrahimovic, join forces to battle Atletico Madrid in the MLS All-Star Game. You can catch the action 7:30 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
That should actually be awesome. I'm very excited to watch that tomorrow night.
All right, time for us to go viral. Yesterday, the Saints had a special guest at training camp. Number one overall basketball pick, Zion Williamson. Check him out, catching some passes from Drew Brees. Zion also showed off his passing ability, launching a pass over 50 yards. See, what do you think? How good of a football player could Zion have been?
Oh, no. Zion can't play no. He can't play no football. He got a body for football, but he don't have the mentality for it. No, he ain't tough enough. No. Have you seen Zion mad one time? Have you seen him even upset?
No, that's a really interesting point. I hadn't even thought about that. I've never seen him, like, he snarls.
Even when he blew out his shoe, almost lost his career right there.
All right, with that body, though, let's just say he had the anger quotient you're talking about. What position? Is he a tight end or a defensive end?
I think we're going to put him in the weight room. He's going to be a defensive tackle, man. Oh. He ain't going to be no deep. Do you see the butt on him? The shoulders on him, you start lifting some weights. Oh, yeah, he's definitely a three technique. Get down. He got a 90s number.
So we get him Warren Sapp's mentality in the weight room.
Let's just go a little lower because Sapp watches the show. He'll be upset, man. Tell dude put some respect on my name.
Sapp already been upset with me a long time.
David Griffin said he's still growing upwards. Forget outwards. So you put another couple inches on him and then throw all that weight on him, he can play anything you want him to play.
Yeah, I'm just worried about in New Orleans. Yes, Dave Griffin, he might be still growing. But that food,
yeah. It's also growing.
Oh, man.
The appetite.
Yeah, he's no vegan.
No, he's not.
All right, time to start your morning with a couple of these stories. With no Ezekiel Elliott in camp, the Cowboys signed running back Alfred Morris to a one-year deal. Morris was Zeke's backup back in 2016 and 2017. Chris Carter, good move by the Cowboys?
Rock solid. Good player, can catch the ball out of the backfield, the style of running for which Dallas likes to. He's used to the blocking scheme, so it will be second nature to him. Great locker room guy, went to school there at FAU in Boca Raton, so he's had a good NFL career after being a mid-round pick.
Had a tremendous rookie season, has been a solid player since then. They had to make some type of move. They have to have some contingency. Prior to signing Alfred Morris, they had 16 total career rushing yards on their roster from their running backs. They had one guy with six carries for 16 yards and some rookies. So you had to get someone out there that you know is at the very least a competent NFL back.
And Tony Pollard, the guy they drafted in the fourth round, he's more of a receiver than he is a runner.
All right, to the Ravens now. Head coach John Harbaugh was asked about how many times quarterback Lamar Jackson will run the ball this season. Harbaugh said, I'd bet the over on that one. I'd bet the over for sure. Nick, is this a winning formula for the Ravens to have him run maybe that many yards?
On an individual basis, it's very effective. The problem is, on a long enough timeline, his injury rate will be 100%. And so if you look at the 10 highest rushing total games by a quarterback in modern NFL history, I think Lamar already has half of them in just his half season starting. And so it's not sustainable. Last year, I got it. They were trying to win playoff games, get to the playoffs. But for him, for his career, he can't be running the ball 15 to 20 times a game. No one in NFL history has done it from that position.
Yeah, he's the Ben Simmons of the NFL. He don't have no jump shot yet, but he's effective. Can he be an all-star running the ball like that? Absolutely.
And Harbaugh,
Harbaugh is doing the right thing. The early part of his career, I'm going to utilize his legs until his arm and his throwing motion, the passing game comes. He'll run less than he did last year, but Harbaugh's a smart football coach, and they realize his biggest threat right now is to be the dual threat.
All right, moving on, a little basketball now. LeBron James has come under fire recently for his behavior on his son's AAU game. LeBron ran onto the court to celebrate an alley-oop in which he lost his shoe in the process. He got in on the dunk line. He had some fun with everyone, posed for some pictures afterwards. Nick, what was your reaction to a little bit of the heat that LeBron took yesterday for all of this?
I think we've officially reached peak LeBron James derangement syndrome from some folks. The idea that it would be controversial and vehement really pointed criticism for LeBron being an exuberant, if not at times over the top, involved, enthusiastic sports parent is just insanity to me. And it is a lot of adults putting what they think they would want in place of what the kids involved have said repeatedly they want and they enjoy. The young man involved in the alley-oop that LeBron is celebrating there, Dior Johnson, he took to Twitter to say, man, you guys don't know what you're talking about. You don't know how cool this is for us, how much we enjoy this. Some other kids that have been on LeBron's son's teams in the past have talked about the group chats they're all on together. And there is undoubtedly a part of this where LeBron, who had a ton of amazing amateur athletic moments, none of which he got to share with his father, is making the pointed case of, I am going to do for my kids at their games what my dad never did for me. And should he run onto the court? I don't know. I mean, I'll tell you this. The first time my son ever dunked in a basketball game, I ran onto the court and dapped him up. And he got embarrassed and he pushed me to the side, but it is a moment he and I have forever. And so I get it. I think a lot of parents get it. But the you can critique some of the histrionics. But the idea that this is a bad thing, or that he's doing, a guy with 100 million Instagram followers is doing this for attention, is to me so missing the mark. It's kind of unbelievable to me.
Well, the one thing, I'll correct you on something, because it doesn't always work like this. I grew up in a family of 7 kids. My mom raised us. My brother Butch was the man of the family. He was my hero. But also, when we grew up, we didn't have a father. We did things not out of, oh, I wish I had my dad to do this, because you don't know that. You don't know what you do with your dad. What you do is set out to say, I'm going to be a better dad than whatever he had going on in his life, because you don't know. People go through different situations, so you don't do that. You just say, I'm going to be a better dad than what I had. And I've been involved in my kid's life, and the difference between what LeBron did and what you did to your son, because what you did to your son was wrong, because your son didn't give you consent to do that, and it embarrassed him. If your kids invite you, if they have the personality, my son Deron, my daughter Monterey, I coached both of them coming up, and they were totally different going to the games, and both of them played an elite level. Monterey wanted me to drive her to every game and control the music because she liked the music. She's like, Daddy, hit me with some of that pregame music. So I hit her and hit her with the pregame music, and she didn't want me to sit with the rest of the parents playing soccer. She wanted me to sit at the near goal and be able to talk to her. And that was a sister situation we worked out. Deron played travel baseball, played football at a high level, and I coached teams like LeBron. So I was involved driving these kids around, chatting with them, knowing their parents. And the experience that they are having goes beyond these videos and everything. You can believe that LeBron, his heart's in the right place. Him and Savannah, they are great parents. And when you are great parents like that and you have resources, you have to be an asset to these other kids who don't necessarily have the same type of things. I got 5 guys playing in pro who spent legitimate months at my house when their living situation, it wasn't the best. And there were times where during the game, I remember my son made a play and I was on the field and the ref threw the flag just because I was Chris Carter and everything. But one of the highlights of my life was the relationships I've developed through my brother being drafted by the Lakers. I was in high school. My brother used to come to the game, so I know how Bronny feels. Having someone like that in the stands, and I met Kareem, met Magic, me and Isaiah Thomas, still good friends to this day because of our relationship. LeBron James's son is going through a very, very special time. He should be able to live it, and he's comfortable with it, so I'm comfortable. I made a couple jokes yesterday about it, about him and his little girls and everything, but as long as the kids are comfortable, because it's their world, it's their life, and LeBron, he knows that, and they're doing a great job, and we need to find something else to criticize LeBron about besides his parenting.
Well, and there's one other element, and this is not just for LeBron. This is the modern NBA star. There was a very controversial, but I think famous, I think people remember it, Sports Illustrated cover from May of 98, so right before Jordan won his 6th title. And it was a little adorable little kid holding a basketball, and it said, "Where's Daddy?" and it was a long-form article about basically non-existent or... Go ahead, C.
No, I was thinking of a story with Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan and I, we were on a yacht in the Bahamas, and his kids had never been on a jet ski. And, man, we were out there jet skiing. His kids, Mike was like, I can't swim. My kids aren't going out there. I was like, Mike, I'm taking your kids out there. And I started to take them on. He was like, no, no one's going to take my kids on a jet ski. So he ended up, me and Jeffrey, last year we saw each other in Vegas, his son, and we were talking about those types of moments. So it's tough when you are the iconic players like Jordan, LeBron.
Well, and then, and to finish the thought, there was once upon a time, if I said, just 20 years ago, if I said NBA dad to the general public, what you thought of was, deadbeat, not there, not around. Even if it was totally unfair, even that Sports Illustrated article set the tone unfairly, which I think it did. Right now, if you say NBA dad, you think of Steph at the podium with his kids, LeBron doing this, Russ with his little toddler practicing before the game, which is important visually, especially given who's in the NBA and the situations a lot of these guys came from. And so of all, I get it. LeBron's the most discussed athlete we have in America today. But of all the things, you criticize him for how corny his Taco Tuesday dad jokes are.
Not for but, how present but I mean, he is with his kids and throughout
and,
everything.
And the kids seem to love it, to Chris's point. And I mean, I was like the assistant coach when I ran on the court. There was a timeout. It wasn't as bad as you maybe think it was.
Only reason why you coaching because you sponsoring the team. Let's roll, Jack.
All right, let's move on to the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's totally true.
Carson my Wentz. Way in. Carson Wentz was all smiles at training camp this week. The Eagles quarterback got a new deal this summer. He feels healthy now, and he loves the team that is now built around him. Here's why. Philly retooled that offense this season, adding veteran skill position players like DeSean Jackson and Jordan Howard, which, according to Wentz, should put fear in opposing defenses.
It makes it a pain in the butt to prepare for us, I would think. And so, you know, it's going to be fun this year to have, you know, coach designing game plans to get everybody on the field, to get everyone touches, to spread the ball around. And, you know, for me, it makes my job way easier, you know, to know that whether we're 11 pers, 12 pers, we can go 13, we can put a couple running backs out there. I mean, we got talent everywhere and guys that, you know, I've worked with in the past or that I trust a lot. And so my job is just going to be to spread the love and get the ball out and let those guys make their plays.
Carson Wentz seems happy. He doesn't have a knee brace on anymore. That vertebrae is healed. He just got a new deal. He's got DeSean Jackson. He seems like he is looking forward to this camp more than he's had in the last couple of years. What do you expect from this Eagles offense?
And Howie Roseman and the rest of the staff there, we continue over the last 2 years talk about what they do as far as roster, making changes, where they might have a deficit, bringing in young players, getting veterans in certain groups. Like, this is a talented roster. They're one of the most talented rosters in the NFL. And the offense, they got – this is where the difference between some of the good teams and great teams are. They got three offensive linemen that I would consider stars. Jason Kelce, the center, is mean. All right? Lane Johnson, the right tackle, is one of the best in the business. And even at an advanced age, Jason Peters is a star left tackle. He doesn't need any help the whole game. Now, if he can stay healthy – they used a high draft pick to bring in another asset to that offensive line. But just look at the talent that they have. And that's where it stops with them and the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, Dallas got a better running back. The Eagles got a better quarterback. And they have better wide receivers. Do they have one receiver as good as Amari? Probably not. But the collection of them, it is. D-Jack coming back. No one in NFL history has scored more touchdowns over 60 yards than him. Carson Wentz, that will open up this offense. And I just believe also the coach, Doug Peterson, he's still a young, growing coach in how the he's lost a lot of coaches the last 2 years. So that continuity with him and Carson because he had Nick in there. So developing that and continuing to build on what they had 2 years ago when he was the leading MVP candidate, I'm excited by what they do. Because they don't have a skill set that's a weakness. They got several running backs. They got an all-pro tight end. They got a guy that can stretch the defense. Alshon can move the sticks. Nelson Aguilar is underrated as a wide receiver, can also play in the slot, can run the football. So, to me, they're loaded on the offensive side, Nick.
And when you alluded to the tight end there, but when you were doing the tail of the tape with the Cowboys, that's the biggest difference, offense compared to offense, aside from a quarterback, is the Cowboys have Jason Witten at tight end, and the Eagles have a guy who I think's one of the five best tight ends in football and one of the most productive year-after-year tight ends in Zach Ertz. And now one would hope with DeSean Jackson there, because the criticism of Wentz last year was he was a little too reliant on Zach Ertz, that the other receivers got kind of frozen out of the offense to a degree because he was so laser-focused on Ertz. With the coverage looks you're going to get because of people's fear of DeSean Jackson's speed, plus people know how productive Ertz can be, and now Alshon and Aguilar get knocked down a peg in a good way as far as the kind of the receiver hierarchy, everyone's job gets easier. I've been adamant about this. I really like Jordan Howard, the running back. I thought Chicago would have been wise to keep him. They decided not to. And even without Michael Bennett, that defense, if you got Fletcher Cox on the defense, along with Derek Barnett, along with Malik Jackson over from Jacksonville, you're going to have a formidable front. Mm-hmm. Questions for the Eagles are what they've been, honestly, the last 2 years, which is how good is the back end of the defense and how healthy will Carson Wentz be? Where they were special his near MVP season, were on your favorite plays, Jenna, the off schedule, the plays broken down, make something happen, and they were one of the best third and long teams I've ever seen. That was, you knew that was going to regress last year. Last year they were good in those spots, but not all-time great. So let's just assume that maintains, that they're not an all-time great third and long team. Can the defense get off the field enough, and can Wentz play 16 games? If he can, then of course the Eagles should be a team that can win, go 11-5 and win that division, especially given the uncertainty of Dallas and what's going on with the best player on their team.
We talked so much last year about the success of Carson Wentz to Zach Ertz and how good they were together and that chemistry together. But now you have a guy like DeSean Jackson. Just talk to me about what the two of them can do together with Carson's arm and DeSean's speed.
Well, this is the thing with DeSean. He's very, very consistent getting off the line of scrimmage. So there are fast guys in the league that are hard to time up because they're not consistent. They get jammed too close to the sideline. It's harder for the quarterback to be able to see them. They're undersized, so you can't pick them up going down the field, and they're not consistent with making plays. They drop. So if you drop a lot of deep balls, man, the quarterback to be able to have confidence to be able to come back to you, and that's what D-Jack gives every quarterback that he has played with. That is confidence. He is not trying to catch a bunch of short passes. He's not trying to catch 80 or 90 balls. At this point in his career, he knows what his role is. It is huge to what Carson needs and the other wide receivers. I talk about all the time, if you're putting together a wide receiver team, they need to be like a basketball team. You need to have difference in size, speed, and skill. And that's what they have. Point guard in D-Jack, center in Zach Ertz. We got a power forward, Alshon Jeffries. Nelson Aguilar, he can be your scorer. And my other guy is the two.
J.J. Whiteside?
No, That's enough. That's my team.
You're four. Whoever you need. I mean, the point remains, like, they were missing the deadly down the field threat.
And now they have that.
And so you've got that. And I think Howard's going to be really good. Can Wentz play 16? Like, listen, we talked about it before. That top five is draft class C: Goff, Wentz, Ramsey, Zeke, Bosa. Bosa and Ramsey flip-flop there.
Yeah.
Only one's gotten paid. It's Carson Wentz. He might be, of those five, the least accomplished, believe it or not. He's got to live up to that.
I couldn't see him. Sproles, man.
Sproles.
He was hiding behind the people. Little Sprosey, man.
I knew it wasn't Whiteside, but I threw him out there. Yeah. I was like, I don't know who you're talking about.
All right, we'll take a break. Coming up, how ugly will Zeke's holdout get? That's still ahead of
Little
Sproles.
Stand up, man. I'm back here, see? Don't forget me, see? Sproles. Hey, what up? What up, man? Let me out of here.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
First things first, Eric Mangini joins us.
Good morning.
Just doing a live television show.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Our commercial break.
The other show I'm
going to
be hosting too. You're going to be on that one, just like when I was doing stuff before. Then we came over here.
Oh, you're leaving us because Jenna's talking about moving in next door.
If y'all keep talking into the break and everything, Coach.
I thought it would be a great idea if I moved right next door to Nick. Can you only imagine how much better our chemistry on air would be if we just lived next to each other?
I don't think your chemistry could get any better.
That's.
You guys have really
set a bar in TV.
Nick flunked chemistry. Only class he flunked in high school.
Coach, the new-look Steelers got back to work this week. No Antonio Brown, no Le'Veon Bell, and a seemingly more mature leader in Ben Roethlisberger. Pittsburgh missed the playoffs last year. Unfamiliar territory for Big Ben, who admitted that while the goal is to be back playing in the postseason, it'll be hard to replace AB and L-Bell's production.
I think the things that we did together was some things that, you know, no one's really ever done. I mean, you know, Peyton and Marvin maybe. I mean, just in the last few years that we did, it was pretty special. So it's going to be hard to make up for that. You know, I'm going to do my best to still bring my A game. And I know that we've got other guys on this team that are ready to step up.
All right, Coach, when you look at what you lost in Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, do you think you can make up some of that production with a guy like Juju Schuster and James Conner?
Well, just like we talked about yours and Nick's chemistry, it's the same thing here. This is
exactly the same.
This is a chemistry experiment in Pittsburgh, because Pittsburgh historically has been the family that's always had a little bit of dysfunction, and they've been able to operate well in that world, succeed in that world, and deal with some personalities that were pretty strong personalities that may not fit in other locker rooms. Now they've moved those guys on, and they feel like they're at a space where everybody's getting along really well. I want to see how that works out. In terms of production, Le'Veon Bell wasn't there last year. We saw what happened with James Conner.
Yes.
He did a really good job. Lost something in the passing game, but gained something in the running game in terms of yards per carry. In the passing game, to replace Antonio Brown, that's really hard. He's uniquely gifted. And with Juju Schuster-Smith, he benefited from the fact that Antonio was there. Now, that being said, I truly believe that Ben Roethlisberger can make stars out of people. So they've got some candidates there. We'll see where Dante Moncrief comes in. We'll see where Dante Johnson, who they draft in the third round, comes in. We'll see where James Washington, their second-round draft pick,
from a year ago,
was a little bit disappointing last season. But all three of those guys have a chance to pop with Ben.
And they would hope that Jalen Samuels, their backup running back, can replace some of the Le'Veon Bell receiving production, because that's not James Conner's strong suit. I'm less concerned about them not having Le'Veon Bell only because they didn't have him last year. And we saw what James Conner looked like over the course of a season. There is a problem, I think, that some people are going to have with evaluating what the Steelers will be, which is saying, well, Juju last year had 1,500 yards receiving. Obviously, he'll be able to duplicate that now as a more primary role in the offense. I don't think that is necessarily how this is going to work. I think Juju is a nice player who benefited enormously from never being the receiver defenses were most concerned with. And so with Antonio gone, it's not just that other guys need to step up. You need Juju to maintain, and I think that's going to be very difficult. That's not about Big Ben, who I think led the league in passing last year as far as passing yards. He has been able to maintain at a really high level for, this is now going to be his 16th year in the NFL, but this will be the least established receiving core he's had in quite some time. And what does Juju look like when he's the one getting double teamed instead of being the one to benefit from AB getting double teamed?
The Pittsburgh Steelers have done a tremendous job through the years of developing wide receivers, regardless of where they drafted them. There was a question in Pittsburgh, would Ben Roethlisberger be the quarterback when they lost Hines Ward? Will he be the quarterback when they lose Jerome Bettis and they went to a more advanced passing? So he has already made names. Antonio wasn't no name. He made a name of him. Emmanuel Sanders, he wasn't no name. He made a name. Only name receiver he had was Holmes, and he had but he wasn't made. He was drafted. Oh. He was produced there. Yep. And Hines Ward. The other guys, he made them. So Coach Mangini's point as far as these younger guys having to step up, it becomes very important. I think that the hidden gem in this is Vance McDonald, the tight end. Can we get him down the middle of the field? I believe there should be a lot more reps going to the tight end because he adds a little speed, adds a little different flavor, and it will take the pressure off the Pittsburgh Steelers. But the number one thing they have right now, they got a very good offensive line. They have a very good running back in James Conner. They have to run the ball to force people into the box. You can't expect Juju Schuster have 1,500-yard season. You know why? I never had a 1,500-yard season. Never. Zero.
That's wild.
Zero. So you talking about, oh, he's going to come back a little bit. A little bit. A great season is 1,200 yards. He's getting ready to come back a whole bunch because we don't need Ben to throw for 5,000 yards. Those stats are a little misleading.
Yep.
5,000 yards lead the league, but you missed the playoffs. It's about winning games. Play to your defense. Your defense is going to be a little more rugged. That offense got to be a little more rugged. You can't be a three-receiver, one-back offense 80% of the time the way the Steelers used to be, Coach.
And there were a lot of years where we played Pittsburgh, and you knew that it was going to be a certain type of game. It was going to be a physical game defensively, and you had to be physically tough defensively as well because they were going to run the ball consistently. They were going to test you in that arena, and then you had to deal with Ben's arm and everything he could do in the passing game, and it opened so many things up. And now there was this conflict as to do you put eight in the box to try to stop the run or do you keep the guys back to try to deal with Ben? And they got lopsided last year. And to Chris's point, to be able to go back and be more balanced in the running game could be huge for them and could also help out the young defense. Could help time of possession and control those games.
Nick, this is a team that had no Antonio Brown last year, or that had Antonio Brown, no Le'Veon Bell this year, and missed the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Now they don't have either of their two biggest offensive weapons. Set the landscape for this.
Well, they will obviously, the one part of this we haven't talked about is the defense will have to be far better. Like, we talked all last year how they were never able to replace Ryan Shazier. I think, what are you laughing about?
I was waiting for you to get your schedule. Where's your schedule?
Give me a moment.
As soon as Jed had transitioned, I thought, oh, it's schedule time.
Well, they do start off at New England as touchdown underdogs for Seattle. It's the easiest two games to start the year. But that's not where I was going to go with it.
Okay.
They drafted Devin Bush in the first round, hoping he can fill that void as quarterback of the defense that tragically Ryan Shazier was filling so well until he suffered that awful injury. But the other thing the Steelers have working against him, and this isn't a schedule thing, but it's a cousin of that, they are in one of three divisions in football that I think people are credibly picking three different teams. Like, the NFC North has three teams you can make case for. Green Bay, Chicago, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. That is a tough division. The NFC South, New Orleans, Atlanta, Carolina. The only division in the AFC like that where you have three of your four teams that credibly could win the division is the AFC North. Baltimore won it last year. Cleveland, who's the trendy pick, and Pittsburgh, who we're talking about right now. So in addition to having to play New England like they seemingly do every year, getting Seattle, who I just mentioned, they also are going to have that very difficult division to get through. And so the defense is going to have to be better. The running game, to these guys' points, is going to have to be more consistent to where you're not relying on Ben to throw for 5,000 yards. And you are going to need Big Ben to continue on the Brady Breeze trend, which is, man, you're 16 ain't nothing. Not when I'm about to play 20. And it is, we have been, I wonder if we've been tricked a little bit at how often quarterbacks are going to be able to do that because Brady and Breeze are doing it so well. We'll see that with Ben and Phillip Rivers this season as they both enter year 16.
I think we're going to see more of that.
More of that, more quarterbacks playing long, long time.
All right, Coach, stick around. Take a break. Coming up, can Cam Newton return to MVP form? That's next on First Things First. Back here, First Things First, with Coach Eric Mangini talking about Cam Newton. He's coming off a season cut short due to a shoulder injury. Now armed with a new throwing motion, more mature and healthy Cam will try to get the Panthers back to the playoffs. Cam turned 30 this summer, said all great athletes have had to change their game as they age, and he knows he won't ever be the MVP Cam of 2015 again, but he's confident there are other ways he can be a great quarterback.
You can look back at any type of player. You can look back at any type of sport. And as a player grows, your game has to change. You know, I remember, you know, reading and seeing a lot of clips about, you know, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Brett Favre, you know, even Peyton Manning to a degree. You know, when you get old, you know, you have to change certain things. It kind of keeps you young, and I actually look forward to it. I embrace this whole process because it made me feel like I felt like a rookie again.
Coach, Cam Newton's got a pretty good outlook heading into this season. What do you think about what he had to say?
Yeah, there's a lot here. First of all, he's 30 years old, so he's not old relative to the old quarterbacks that we have playing. And the famous boxing trainer, Custy Motter, used to say, you gotta train a jab so much that a boxer can't screw it up even if he wants to. So the idea of changing your mechanics at this point in his career, I like that he's doing it. I think it's important that he does do it. I think it's important to his shoulder health. I don't know how successfully he's really going to be able to do it, though.
So it's second nature to him, and he doesn't have to think about it.
It's easy in practice. It's easy in individual drills. It's easy in all those places. But when you add anxiety, when you add pressure, when you add those moments, then it becomes a lot more challenging to stay with that. And if they start losing, he's going to get to that point where I'm going to do what I need to do in order to win games. And I think it's going to be interesting to see him in those moments. And I like a lot of the things he's saying. I like a lot of things that he's doing. I don't know how well he's going to be able to do that long term.
Well, the thing about it, Coach, he started it last year. It's not as if he's starting this year. Last year when they hired Norv Turner, Scott Turner, when I sat down with him, his fundamentals were a huge thing to what they were going to work on. And Cam totally bought in. Now, this year he went with the Michael Jordan, the Peyton Manning analogies and everything, and also he went vegan. But the fundamentals part started last year, which he saw the benefit, and that was in the highest percentage pass completion that he's had his whole career.
So 10 points higher than his career average.
This is just a follow-up. In Norv, he believes in Norv. I talked to him about that. I talked to him about exactly what you're talking about. How do you be patient? And he said, I'm going back to my film study, go back to my footwork. You can even see from his throwing motion, even with his offhand, how close it is to his body, a lot like Tom Brady. Now, that was last year's change. You could see the throwing motion changes in this year's video that we have from training camp. But it does take time, and Coach is right. It under the gun, what will he do? And the human behavior is go back to what you've done before. Coach is like, yeah, we got a 43 defense. I'm getting ready to send this mic through the A-gap, and he's not going to see him. Does he drop down, go sidearm? Does his left foot step out of the bucket? He open up his hips. Is he going to do that? That's what we're going to have to watch for this year. And we'll just put an extra eye on the things when he's off schedule, or does his fundamentals, do they stay intact?
And look, I had Brett Favre at the end of his career, and he didn't change that much from who he was in terms of taking those chances. And I would talk to Brett all the time about, look, don't hit on 16. We don't have to take a chance all the time. And it was hard to try to make that change at that point in his career. I get what he's saying about older guys who have made adjustments, and that is really important. And I like the progress he's made with Norv Turner. And he got sacked, I believe, less than than historically he has been in a long time. And to me, that's great as well. It's just I want to see that consistent maturity from him. And I read an interesting article about how he hasn't talked to the local media, and they've been asking him to talk to him since July 24th, and there's some tension there. And you start seeing those things like, okay, have we made those steps maturity-wise? Are we still doing things like that? And maybe it's not him. Maybe it's the organization. It's just, why?
Okay, so three things. First of all, God, I hope you didn't tell someone not to hit on 16. You have to hit on 16. You know that. You're a math guy. Second of all, while he maybe has a bit of a beef with the local media, I was unaware with that. He used to have a beef with Peter King. And the fact that he sat down and talked with Peter King long form-wise, set aside where he had a grudge against Peter King or something Peter wrote before he was drafted, to me does show that maturity. Him focusing on veganism and that discipline shows some maturity. And him saying, I'm going to submit myself, my talents to you, the coach, to change who I am, shows maturity. I totally understand the concern that in critical moments, or when it's most adverse, or when you're most tired, going back to what you're used to. But even if that does happen, Cam can show enormous growth, because one of the criticisms of Cam has been in a clean pocket early in football games, sailing a ball over a receiver's head that's wide open. Why? Because his fundamentals were bad, something you can explain better than me, because he didn't step into the throw right. He's tried to do it all with upper body. Like, even if Cam, I don't think anyone thinks he's going to start week one and all of a sudden, 100 out of 100, be perfect on what he's trying to do. But any incremental adjustment here, improvement here, does help him, help his ability to prolong his career. And Favre was nearly 40 when you had him. He was 39 or about to turn 40. Cam just turned 30. So I understand 30's not, he's not a 22-year-old quarterback, but he's not a guy that has won three MVPs, won a Super Bowl, the vintage old dog. You're not going to teach him any new tricks, quarterback, that Favre was with the Jets.
And a lot of this has to do with the coaching staff. Coach, yeah, Cam's to that point, You couldn't help Brett. He had too many coaches. He had already told him, you can go do that. But Carolina right now, as far as Norv Turner, Scott Turner, Ron Rivera, Cam has bought into the changes. And his coaching staff, they're trying to highlight not only Cam's throwing ability, but the skills of the other guys. McCaffrey, they're trying to get him 1,000, 1,000. If he gets 1,000, 1,000, Cam's going to improve. His best receiver, DJ Moore, he is the true replacement for a franchise wide receiver from Steve Smith. Mm-hmm. He's the first franchise receiver they've had since they let Smitty go. He's great after the catch, big, strong, physical receiver. Him and Cam Newton got to sync up a little more this year. And if those things take place, I think the development becomes a lot easier, Coach.
Yeah, and I applaud Cam for trying to make this progress. And I think Norv Turner does a great job. And I like the things that we've seen. I just want to see that when things are bad, when things are tense, that he can stay the course, get through that turbulence, and come out on the other side.
All right, Coach, we'll see you a little bit later in the show. Coming up, talk some basketball. Is Anthony Davis already feeling the pressure to win a title in year one with the Lakers? That's next on First Things First. Oh, we got a great heavyweight battle for you coming up on Saturday as Brooklyn's unbeaten Adam Kovnatsky takes on Chris Areola Saturday, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on Fox and the Fox Sports app. It's going to be a good one. We'll get to Anthony Davis in a second. But first, AAU basketball 2025 star shooting guard Josh Christopher taking off, putting the opponent on a poster with the one-hand jam.
He tried to defend this one, but yeah. Man, you gotta let this one go, 34.
I give him credit, man. He almost got there, man. A little bit of a contest. What are you shaking your head about?
Ain't no almost getting there when you get boomed on.
Well, listen, I give the kid credit for giving full effort, not trying to take a charge, not getting out the way. Josh Christopher just too good for
that's
him.
Some stupid old coach stuff.
A little high-flying dunker, Jordan Sutherland going under the legs and switches hands for the dunk.
Oh, that's really good. A little East Bay transfer. Oh, I like that now. That could win you a dunk contest in the NBA, see? I've never seen that one.
I got a little strained hammy right now. I was wondering how you got that leg up like that.
Chris does. Chris walked around the office and I said, did you do something to your legs, man?
Ask him if he worked out yesterday on it. All you
my
guys.
My guess is he did.
Stubborn, stubborn man. Little League World Series Senior Division, South Carolina versus Wisconsin. Steve Callahan with an amazing diving catch.
Okay, now what level of play is this?
It's we got 13 college. To 16-year-olds is what
okay.
we're talking about here.
All right, now this is a hell of a catch.
Yeah.
For a 13 to 15-year-old running. Diving, Steve Callahan, give it up to you. That's Hall of Fame hands of the week right there.
Oh, how about that?
Find you a sponsor or something, Steve.
Looks like Musco Tires.
Wisconsin, maybe if they get a baseball program, maybe the kid can be playing for you in a few years.
So, guys, when do you talk NBA in late July? When Anthony Davis waxes poetic about what his future should look like as a Laker. AD wants to win titles alongside LeBron James, but with newfound parity in the NBA, he talked about what success means to him as he heads into this new phase of his career.
I don't think I have a failure that I've had yet. Obviously, you know, at the end of my career, if I don't win a championship, that would be, I feel like that's one of my biggest failures. But right now, I still have a lot to do in this world, you know, on and off the court. So I don't think I failed at anything. You know, I think I can continue to just do it over until I'm, you know, succeed at it.
Anthony Davis talking about how he has yet to really fail at any level in mm-hmm. his career. He hasn't been that successful with New Orleans just because the team didn't go very far. But what do you make of what Anthony Davis had to say?
I mean, he's totally correct that this would be the only level that he didn't win a championship. He was only at Kentucky 1 year. They're the best team in the country. They won a title.
Yes.
He was dominant on both ends of the court. They got to New Orleans. He was so good so quickly. They tried to microwave that process, traded away some picks, signed some bad contracts because they thought, we can win. He's an MVP candidate by year three. We can win right now. And it short-circuited what they could have built there. But, yeah, I mean, if you are the type of player who is a perennial MVP contender, and in the NBA specifically, and you finish your career without a title, that is considered a level of failure. It doesn't make you a failure. It doesn't mean your career was a failure. But for Barkley and Karl Malone and right now James Harden, Russell Westbrook, that missing from their career is an enormous gap on the resume. And it's the only gap. Now, Anthony Davis hasn't won a league MVP the way those four guys I just mentioned have, but he's been in the top three, I think, twice. And I think most people expect that at some point he will win a league MVP. So I don't To me, this wasn't shocking news. It wasn't shocking that he feels this way. It was pretty clear the reason he wanted to go to Los Angeles to play with LeBron was because he thought it gave him the best chance this year and long term to compete for championships, which is what he understandably is most focused on at this point.
He got that first initial experience at Kentucky to let you know, man, that championship feels good. He led that team. He was phenomenal. And like you mentioned, we can't forget individually, he was very, very successful in New Orleans. But what we do in reporting on the game and those who follow the game, if he's not successful, you know what we end up talking about? Oh, he's not that good of a player. But if he is successful, we don't talk about that. We talk about the team. Every guy can't lead a team to a championship. Even though in the NBA, if you have one of the better players, your chance of winning most of the games and win the championship are highly likely compared to the NFL. He has his goals in the right place. That's why he forced the trade. It wasn't just LeBron James. It was the Lakers. It was the attraction of a big man playing for the Lakers, how they've always had a big guy, and they put other stars around it for the rest of his 10-year career or potentially even longer. So he made the right move. His head's in the right place. When you're a top 10 player, I think it's realistic that you should set your goal to, I want to win a championship. He went a little bit further by saying, I'd like to win a championship. Most high-level people won't say my career was a failure because I wouldn't admit that. I would have loved to win a championship. Man, I tried, but I'm not going to say my career was a failure. His career will not be a failure if he doesn't win a championship.
It also should be noted, Anthony Davis has been to the playoffs twice, and the team he's lost to both times is a team that won the title, Golden State. The first time he was there, year three, I remember this game vividly. Anthony Davis was killing the Warriors when they were down 2-0 in the first game back in New Orleans, just killing them. And the Warriors went crazy at the end of regulation. Steph hit a three, falling down in the corner to force overtime. They end up winning that game, going to sweep them. He doesn't make the playoffs again for another few years. Then they go and sweep Portland 4-0 when Portland's the three seed. Then who do they face? The Warriors again, this time with Kevin Durant, because the Warriors were the two seed that year. And they didn't. Anthony Davis was great in that series again, and they won one game. Like it has not. You can argue why weren't they better the 2 years prior when they missed the playoffs and Davis missed some time and there were questions there. I get it. Nobody should doubt how great of a player he is, and I do think there is a little extra pressure on the NBA star when people are looking at careers than in the other sports, because people do say, if you're that good in the NBA, you should. There's not
because you influence the offense and the defense.
Right.
You should. You're on the court. I mean, Tom Brady's won that many Super Bowls, but imagine if you had a two-way player. Should be disproportionate as far as the greater player winning championships.
Go ahead.
No, clearly Anthony Davis wants to win and is important to him winning. Failure is not even an option. Do you think if he doesn't win in year one with the Lakers, he'll go somewhere else and try to do it?
No, absolutely not. This was going to be the messaging. That's the reason why the Knicks. I know for a fact Anthony Davis, Rich Paul, they told the Knicks we're not going to sign an extension. So all year, even if you make this trade for me, all year you have to explain this to your fan base that he's still going to become a free agent. He's not going to sign a long term until the summer of 2020. That was no matter where he went. The Lakers and LeBron, they can handle that. There's stability there with the Lakers now because they got LeBron. They got AD. So as far as developing the rest of that roster, the flexibility that they didn't have with free agency, late in free agency with the Kawhi thing going on, they have a competent roster. They have a good NBA team. I think that's just the beginning stages of what they're trying to build. We're going to see a lot more interviews of Anthony Davis because we haven't seen a whole bunch of him playing there in New Orleans.
And I think that Anthony Davis, I would be shocked, just absolutely gobsmacked, if he doesn't re-sign with the Lakers after this year. But I also be pretty surprised if he signs that 5-year max deal you can sign. My guess is he knows what everybody knows, what Kawhi knew. Oh, you can get a much bigger deal after 10 years in this league. Yeah. Anthony Davis, after this year, who will have played 8 seasons in the NBA,
yep.
And LeBron will have 2 years left on his contract with the Lakers. Anthony Davis almost assuredly after this year will sign a 2+1 with the Lakers to where he can hit free agency after 10 years, get the most money, see where LeBron's at, see where the Lakers are at, see if they've won a title. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's a given that Anthony Davis is going to play for the Lakers for the next decade. But I bet all the money I've got that he plays for the Lakers for at least the next 3 years. And I bet a decent amount of money he gets at least one of those championships in the next three.
All right, let's take a break, talk some football again on the other side. Could the Steelers be in danger of missing the playoffs for the second year in a row? We'll discuss next on First Things First. Welcome back to First Things First. We're going viral. Antonio Brown has spent a good amount of time getting on the same page as his quarterback, Derek Carr. The two have spent so much time together that their sons have even developed a relationship. Check this out. Carr's son throwing passes to AB's son. It's too cute.
All right, see, break down the footwork. A little Antonio Brown's kid.
Yeah, at that time, at that age, the motoring skills, their feet, they can't make them pick them up and put them down, but he's seen his dad do that drill so many times. Oh, he's an athlete now. He's an athlete. But just tell me, why the stereotype? Why did the guy have to be the wide receiver? Why can't Antonio's son be the quarterback and then Carr's son out running routes?
Well, I don't know if this is a stereotype. It's the position their daddies play. That's why. What position did Ron play?
He played quarterback until he got to high school.
And then he was a star wide receiver. Like, I mean, he's trying to emulate the father.
Yeah, because they're stupid. They don't be the quarterback. Anytime you can be the quarterback, be the quarterback.
Look at the chain. Come on. Look at the little chain he's wearing. Is it so cute? Antonio Brown's little kid there?
Oh, listen, man. He's a cute
kid. Come on. He's adorable.
I feel like we've seen some highlights of him killing folks. I'm not certain if that's...
High tops.
Mm-hmm. No. Cute kid.
All right, time for stories to start your morning. Ezekiel Elliott continues his holdout. According to reports, Zeke is heading to Cabo to work out and stay in shape all away from the team. But Jerry Jones escalated tension between the two sides, saying, quote, "You don't have to have a rushing champion to win a Super Bowl." Nick, what was your reaction to Jerry Jones's comments?
Oh, you don't. If you're the Kansas City Chiefs, if you're the New England Patriots, you're the Philadelphia Eagles. A lot of teams don't.
Yeah, most of the recent champs.
Yep. Cowboys sure as hell do. And Jerry, you know why Jerry should know that? Even as great as those teams he had in the early 90s were. You know what all the champions had? Damn rushing champ named Emmitt Smith. Like, so the Cowboys, the way they are built with their limitations at quarterback, absolutely, unequivocally must have Ezekiel Elliott. I think to be a playoff team and can't win the Super Bowl if you don't make the playoffs, little known fact. So Jerry knows a lot of football. I think he missed the mark on this one.
Man, he missed it just a little bit because all his Super Bowls came when he had a rushing champ. So his model, the Dallas Cowboy models, when they explain that to people, it has to do with Ezekiel Elliott. Number 21, I'm going to keep repeating this till someone hears me, is the best Cowboy, all right? He's the best star on a team of stars.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.